reminding you to get your nomination applications in for Leaders Portfolio Awards. And thank you if you have done so already. We are looking for Business Leader of the Year and Leadership Business of the Year. I am your host, Rebecca Blacksmith, in studio with the president and CEO of IncrediTech, Mr. Adam Pattisall. Welcome, Adam, to Leaders Portfolio.
Thank you for the invitation.
Now, IncrediTech is located in Belmar, Maryland, is a service-disabled, veteran-owned small business that provides services for the telecommunications and high-tech industries. Privately owned company, annual sales over $40 million. Adam, I'm going to ask you now to explain kind of what IncrediTech provides folks.
Well, we provide service and support and resale also for the telecommunications industry. Our biggest customers are tier one telecommunications providers across the U.S. So it's really, you know, doing, a lot of people refer to it as IT, but we refer to it as fiber optics and telecommunications type work, more in the larger offices for the tier ones.
And and you founded IncrediTech at age 40. So what year was this? Now we're going to know your age. What year was this?
Actually, if I had to do the math backwards, because I'm 40 now, it would have been probably 34.
Okay,
yeah,
okay, you're 40
that's okay.
Now. Okay. Well, that makes you younger.
Thank you very much. I could use that these days.
So what motivated you to found it?
Really, I mean, the company is based around services, and I saw the industry starting to dwindle with the larger companies that had been in it for years just falling off from the services commitments. It seemed to be more about sales and more about revenues and profits and things of that nature, and I felt like they were sort of getting away from what was really the basis of a good services organization, and I felt like I could do a much better job at that for the customers. So I, you know, had some conversations with key executives at the companies and told them what my thoughts were and what I wanted to do and how I could help their company grow. And I had 150% support from those guys to do it.
How did you get them the first year or two?
Well, the first year was...
Was it tough?
It was a little tough. I mean, I actually transitioned away from Lucent Technologies before mm-hmm. they were bought by Alcatel. And when I announced I was leaving Lucent, they kept me on for about 6 months to transition some things. So I had a you know, like a morning job with Lucent, closing out end of year things for them for 6 months, and then they allowed me to go off and start my own company. Interestingly enough, going to be competing directly with them, just as a small service supplier. So when I left, it wasn't too difficult. I had a number of things teed up. So the first 6 months was scary. After that, things got going really fast. So I didn't have a lot of overhead. It made it easy.
And you did this at age 34. And then you also founded a company called Quality Fibers in 2006, a fiber optics product distribution company. And you currently serve as that president and chief executive officer.
That's correct.
You sell products there that you then use for your services.
Exactly. I mean, Quality Fibers is more of a... an equipment provider and resells products to companies like IncrediTech that need certain things to do their job.
And you told me this story in the green room. You're talking to me about how you about the paper. People were using paper.
That's correct.
And you said, this is crazy. Why are you putting that along? I guess it was the telecommunications lines. They were
right.
Using paper. And so you manufactured your own. Tell me this story again.
Right. So I spent 4.5 hours one night cutting what we call fish paper, believe it or not. It's fiber paper, fish paper. It's a protective paper that sort of insulates fiber optics cables or even electrical cables. I spent 4.5 hours one night with four of my guys cutting paper. And it looked really bad when we were done. We were using really small scissors and our fingers hurt. And I just thought, I can't believe we're getting paid to do this. Why don't we outsource this and have someone do it in more of an automated fashion? So the next day, I spent the whole day on the internet and found a company that manufactured car gaskets and paid them to make a die, and now we sell the fish paper ourselves. And I don't have my guys out there cutting fish paper in the middle of the night.
They're thankful?
Well, they would rather be paid to cut the fish paper, to be honest with you, but the jobs look a lot better, and they're very thankful that we're staying busy as a company. So
yeah, right. They're keeping their job.
They might not be thankful for the paper, but they're thankful for their work. So it all rolls into being a better provider to the customer. I mean, ultimately, we're able to lower our cost and have a lot better quality.
Now, you said customer a number of times, so I can tell it's something that you focus on. And I'm going to share my naivety on air. I thought it was interesting when I first started interviewing CEOs how much they talked about, you got to care about the customer. But since then, I have thought about how many big companies you use that you talk to on the phone, your DSL, your cable, whoever. And, you know, they make you wait on the phone, right? You can't get through. You got an automated person. And it's so frustrating. And so you think, man, like, this concept of customer service really is what makes these companies successful again. And it's almost like we went through a wave of people forgetting it to streamline. And now some companies are coming back with it as a trend.
I agree. I absolutely agree with that. I mean, I think, interestingly enough, I was in Home Depot yesterday and the service was, you know, unbelievable. And I can remember when it used to be that way.
Yep.
And then Hechinger's came along and just cleaned house. I mean, it's interesting to see that. And I mean, I've been in customer service since I got out of the military, and it's very frustrating to see how companies will treat their primary customer. In some cases, that's me. And I heard I heard a statistic one time that 1 in 26 customers will complain. So I often remind people that I'm that 26th customer. Like, if I don't feel like you're doing a good job, I'm going to tell you about it in a very polite way. But I don't want my customer to have to come tell me we're not doing a good job, although I welcome it.
And let's get into your background. We're speaking with Adam Pattisall, President and CEO of IncrediTech. Now, you, when I asked you what your education, you said none. Well, so you finished high school.
I finished high school, and I would say that I was not a great student there.
You just finished high school. So the answer is you just finished high school.
No, I finished high school. No, yeah, exactly. But no, I mean, when I went through high school, I was great at math. I knew exactly what I needed to pass, and that's all I did. But I did get straight A's in a course in auto mechanics.
Okay. And you said you're from the country.
Yeah, I'm
your
from
dad's
Virginia.
A Southern, or dad, you're raised with a dad who's a Southern Baptist preacher and a mom who's a homemaker.
That's correct.
So you didn't have the degrees or parents who had the pattern of being a CEO. So tell me where you got it from.
I think that I've just always been driven based on, everybody wants to make a lot of money, or at least I think everybody does. And I kind of always knew. I mean, I can remember with my brother, we used to go pick daffodils, wild ones on the side of the road, and sell them at the corner. And one day we sold $20 worth of daffodils. That was like a big deal. That was our that was our world record. So, I mean, I always knew that I was going to start a company and do something on my own.
Is that when, if customers went up the street, they could have got them for free around the patch in the back?
They could have.
They just didn't know.
They could have picked them for free. But hey, I'll tell you what, you provide a service that somebody's willing to pay for, and you've got a good niche. And that's really where I feel like I've always belonged in the services arena. I mean, I feel like we give something to the customer. If we give them something they're willing to pay for, they can't afford to not have us around. So there's a lot of guys that want to give their wife pretty daffodils. They don't want to stop and get dirty. Mm-hmm. So we're willing to do it for them.
Now, your dad's a Southern Baptist preacher. So did you learn any leadership lessons from him?
I would say that my father was absolutely my mentor. There's no doubt. I mean, it's weird now. I have two young boys, and you don't see that until you get kids of your own. But, growing up, my father had a huge influence over me and a lot of other people, too. I mean, I learned a lot from the military and working with people, and I learned a lot from some of the executives that I worked with at different companies, even a period of time where I think I learned some very valuable lessons from things that people I worked with where they had done things I would never do. So, but really, when it all comes back to it, I mean, it has to do a lot with the way I grew up with my mother and father. So I didn't get away with a lot, and I can assure you, I tried.
Do your boys get away with a lot?
My boys don't get away with a lot, and they try.
All right, we're speaking with Adam Pattisall, President and CEO of IncrediTech, and I wanted to ask you, I've got a Forbes business quote for you. This is from Eric Hoffer, and the quote is, "The basic test of freedom is perhaps less in what we are free to do than in what we are free not to do." I'm going to say that again. The basic test of freedom is perhaps less in what we are free to do than in what we are free not to do. Thoughts?
Well, I mean, being in the military and being out there fighting for freedom, and you see the bumper stickers that freedom ain't so free and things like that, I mean, it's near and dear to my heart. There are a lot of times where you feel like freedoms are being taken away, but I will say, and we talked about this earlier, that there's a lot of countries out there that don't have any freedoms at all, and I think as long as we're Americans and we're standing underneath of that flag, then we're going to have a lot of freedoms. And, you know, I could debate about different laws and whether I agree with them or don't agree with them, but I feel like most of them are put in place to protect people's freedoms, believe it or not.
You were sergeant in the U.S. Army, speaking of freedom, from 1987 to 1992 in its satellite communications program.
That's correct.
What did they teach you about leadership?
A lot. I was able to attend some pretty interesting schools, primary leadership development course where I was in Hawaii, which was awesome. I learned a lot. I mean, I learned a lot about respect for others. I mean, it seemed like every month you ended up reporting to somebody new, maybe not your direct supervisor, but, you know, someone new. So you learn to adapt to other people. But having people underneath of you and learning respect. But, I think a lot of stuff was taught there. And for some reason, kind of like high school, it didn't kick in for me until I got out and sort of got out in the real world and realized that it was game on. So I probably learned a lot of stuff that I didn't realize I was learning at the time.
How have you messed up as a leader?
Probably the single thing that I think I would change is recognizing a situation that you're in and you know that it's heading the wrong direction and letting it linger. I think that's a big mistake. I mean, I don't want to say other people make that mistake, mm-hmm. but I've been in situations where it affected someone's personal life and of course affected me personally too. And I let it go longer than I should have. I think I'm over those hurdles at this point because I look at the team as a whole now and everybody that's a part of the company and their families are a huge part of what I feel like is my family.
So are you speaking in reference to a client project lingering or hire?
I'm talking about internal
hires.
Stuff. Absolutely. I mean,
it's not good for both people.
It's not good for either people or it's not good for your customer. Ultimately, it is sort of a cancer that you have to deal with. If you don't get rid of it, you don't, you know, sort it out, it's bad. And the longer you let it linger, the worse the effects. Some effects that you might not realize for years.
And have you, I've heard that. And I've also heard that people over time tend to get better at getting somebody off the bus as we've all heard, get somebody off the bus. But have you gotten better at that so you get people off the bus quicker?
Unfortunately. I think you develop a very, I developed a very sharp edge about myself. And personally, this bothers me because I was never this kind of a person. But I think at some point you have to have that thick skin or that sharp edge where, you know, and I hate to say in business is business because I think business is very personal. But at some point you have to look at it and say, this isn't a good business decision. I'm getting very... you know, you get thick skin or a very sharp edge, whatever you want to call it. So unfortunately, I've developed that because at the end of the day, I go home to my wife and my kids. And, you know, they're the people my life revolves around. So, you know, you have to take that sharp edge and leave it at the office. That's not easy to do.
So you caused me to think of another question, which is you got a customer who's saying an employee you have is not doing a good job. And you've got an employee saying it's not me, it's the customer. How do you determine who to believe? That's got to take skill.
Yeah. I mean, you gave me more in that scenario than I was hoping to hear, but I can tell you if you have a customer that's got a problem with an employee, that's a serious issue. And, you know, the customer's always right thing. I'm not sure I believe in that, but I have not had to deal with that often. And when I did, it was a little different scenario. And I think ultimately you have to move that employer or you get them off the bus, as you said.
Right. Well, Adam, thank you for sharing with us on Leaders Portfolio, and best of luck with IncrediTech.
Thank you very much,
and,
Rebecca.
And your future.
I appreciate you having me on.
President CEO of IncrediTech, Adam Pattisall, and of course, audiocast, bio, and a link to his website, all available at leadersportfolio.com. Also the place where you can nominate a leader or leadership company from the D.C. area. For the Leaders Portfolio Awards, we're looking for Business Leader of the Year, Leadership Business of the Year. Maybe you think a client has a great business, you know, they have leadership ideals. Nominate them or apply yourself. Or you've heard a great, interview or whatever. We want you and your involvement for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith, and I want to thank Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax. I enjoy speaking with you each week about leadership.